As we gather together this morning, then, to give thanks to our great God, we turn our attention to the book of Psalms, chapter 30. Psalm number 30. And in order to understand the context of this psalm, we will read briefly from 1 Chronicles, chapter 21. As the psalmist reminds us that this psalm was composed by David at the dedication of the house of David. Many scholars associate this specific moment when, after experiencing a terrible plague, David then begins the projects to build the house of God. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, we are reminded of the sinful situation in which David put himself and the nation of Israel. And beginning in verse 14, we read of the consequences of the sinful census that David set upon his heart to take. We read, "So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell. And God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord looked and relented of the disaster and said to the angel who was destroying, 'It is enough. Now restrain your hand.' And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite." Verse 28. "At that time, when David saw that the Lord had answered him on the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite, he sacrificed there. For the tabernacle of the Lord and the altar of the burnt offering, which Moses had made in the wilderness, were at that time at the high place in Gibeon. But David could not go before it to inquire of God, for he was afraid of the sword of the angel of the Lord." Then we read in verse 1 in chapter 22, "Then David said, 'This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of burnt offering for Israel.' So David commended together the aliens who were appointed in the land of Israel, and he appointed masons and cut hewn stones and build the house of God." We turn now to Psalm 30, understanding the context, and we read the holy and inerrant word of God. A psalm, a song of the dedication of the house of David. "I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. For His anger is but for a moment, His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now in my prosperity I said, 'I shall never be moved.' Lord, by your favor you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, and I was troubled. I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned from me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever." Let us pray together. Great God in heaven, as we have read your word and your thankful hearts, we come before your presence this morning. And we pray, O Lord, that you would grant us at your face, at your presence this morning, much encouragement, much mercy, much grace. Father, as we consider this psalm, we pray it would remind us once again why words of thankfulness should always be present in our mouths. Why the essence of Christianity, the essence of a saved soul, is gratitude to You. Father, we pray that as we consider these verses, You would show us the many blessings in Christ that we have. And for Him, and for all these blessings, we must be always grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Perhaps you woke up this morning and said, how can I be thankful this year? What a strategy. What a disastrous year. I trust that many people at the end of 2019 was very hopeful that 2020 would be one of those years to be remembered. One of those years in which many great things would happen, many conquests would be achieved. Marvelous things would happen, and just look around. On a personal level, perhaps you sit here this morning and all you see is losses, sleepless nights, hurt. You look around in a macro scale and you see upheaval, illness, disease, division, lies, manipulation. The society we grew up is completely eroding and different from what we believe it would be and for what we experienced in the past. How can we be grateful? How can we be grateful in this disastrous scenario? Well, as we look at Psalm 30, we notice that David had a very close experience to ours. After seasons of plague, after losing many men, in the face of all that suffering and disgrace that he was experiencing, all of a sudden he realizes, this is the house of God. I am in the house of the Lord. And then he calls the people to begin to build that which belonged originally to the Lord. Instead of wasting his time putting together a census to glorify himself, he now make sure that he's using his time for that which the Lord has appointed him to do, to prepare a place and materials for his house. See, this is precisely the context of this psalm. Despite of a year or a season full of plague and loss and disease and terrible things happening, the reason why the psalmist can lift up his voice and open his mouth in gratitude to the Lord is because this is the house of God. This is the time of the Lord. And despite of all these circumstances, he continues to bless us. As therefore we approach this psalm this morning, as we gather together to express our gratitude to the Lord, let us remember, Christians. Let us remember. Plagues cannot overshadow the love of God for His people. Plagues or loss cannot overshadow the love of God for His people, but they must lead us to a closer walk with the Lord. Plagues and loss can never overshadow the love of God for His people, but all these things must lead us into a closer walk with the Lord. As we look at verses 1 through 3, we notice, first of all, that plagues cannot overshadow the blessings that come from the Lord. We notice in these three verses that the emphasis is rejoice. The emphasis is, now I will lift up my voice and my eyes up to the heavens because the Lord has made great things among us. Now keep in mind the occasion. Plague and loss, death and diseases. But the purpose of the psalm now show us that the God is the one who brings healing and relief in this time of plague. Look at the description that the psalmist gives of himself, first of all. As you look, for example, in verse 3, he says, the Lord brought my soul up from the grave. In other words, I was on the bottom of the pit. That's the same idea that we gather from verse 1. The Lord, for you have lifted me up. You know, times we used to have wells in our properties. And certainly something that was not fun was to get that bucket all the way down to the pit, all the way down to the well, get a little bit of water and lift it up all over again. So that's precisely how David describes himself in this psalm. He describes himself as a bucket in the bottom of the well that the Lord lifts up to see the brightness of the sun, the brightness of the sky, to bring water to refresh. Look at what the Lord did with him. The Lord not only lifted him up, but look particularly at verse 2. The Lord healed him. You see, that in itself sets the psalm in the context of disease, in the context that we have read in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. There was this plague, there was a disease, the Lord rescued him, the Lord kept him alive, the Lord made his soul, delivered his soul from the grave. So despite of the terrible circumstances, the psalmist is experiencing and is grateful for the deliverance that comes from the Lord. He counts, he knows, he identifies all the blessings that come from the Lord. And despite of the plague, he knows that the blessings flow from heaven. Christian, is this your assurance this morning? As you sit here together with God's people, for sure all of us have experienced different trials and tribulations during this past year, in different levels. But are we coming before the Lord with the same sense of gratitude, with the same sense of deliverance, with the same sense of healing? You see, plagues cannot overshadow the love of God for His people. But perhaps you're puzzled. Perhaps you're saying, well, Pastor, but how can I associate myself with David in this circumstance? What I have lost, the Lord has not bring back to me. The suffering that I have experienced, I am still experiencing. Oh, this is the problem, isn't it? The problem is when we insist in living with the eyes of now instead of living with the eyes of eternity. Because you see, as we look at these three verses, it is not about material blessings ultimately that the psalm is talking about, is it? Because who is the one whose foes could not rejoice over him? Who is the one who lifted up his eyes upon heaven and said, my God, in your hands I deliver my spirit. Who was the one who was brought up from the grave? Who was the one who was kept alive although he died? You see, Christians, the reason why we can gather together to rejoice in the face of plague, in the face of loss, is because of what we have in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of what we have in Him. He is the one who testifies to us that the blessings of the Lord remains forever. As we look at verses 1 through 3, plagues cannot overshadow the blessings that we have in the Lord, for these blessings have been manifested ultimately in Christ. So here's my encouragement for you this morning. Despite of all disease and illness and hardship, remember you have Jesus. Oh, Christian, remember, you have the one who experienced all these things for you. You have one who ultimately experienced all these things so that you would be delivered from hell and be brought into heaven. So that your sins would be forgiven. And so that indeed true healing, not healing from regular plagues, but healing from sin, healing from hell, healing from the captivity to our own wickedness was given to us eternally. Plagues and loss cannot overshadow the love of God for His people. It cannot overshadow that blessings come from the Lord. We can witness that clearly in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us this morning turn our eyes back to our King. Let us this morning turn our eyes back to our King. Let us stop looking at the strife and division and loss, but let us look to the one who has been kept alive and who is keeping us alive. But you see, while plagues and loss cannot overshadow the love of God, plagues and loss can draw us towards God, can draw us towards the Lord, make us walk closely with Him. And that's what we see now at the remainder of the chapter. In verses 4 to 7, we notice that plagues help us to remember that blessings coming only from the Lord. This is one of the positive aspects of plagues and loss. It reminds us that the blessing that we receive has only one source. It is the Lord Himself. Now look at verse 4. In verse 4 you have this general call to worship. Sing praises to the Lord, says the psalmist. It is a call for the nation. You saints of His, give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. The psalmist moves on and reminds us that the times of suffering are very short comparing to how long and how manifold and how rich are the blessings that come from Yahweh. Look at the end of verse 4 and verse 5. He says, especially, weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. The anger of the Lord endures for only a moment, but His favor is for life. Moments of times of suffering and disease and plagues and loss are short periods of time in our existence. The psalmists are reminding us that there is an existence of blissful life. There's a blissful existence awaiting those who deposit their faith in the Lord, who come before the Lord even in the face of these trials. That's precisely what we're reading in verse 6 and 7. Look at the danger that comfort brings to our lives. Look at verse 6. In my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Does that translate your feeling lately? Or does that translate your feeling before this year full of tribulation? Were you comfortable in your prosperity, Christian? Yes, you were coming to worship every Sunday. You were attending the regular events of the church. But was your heart really in the Lord? Would you dare to say that you prayed last year more than you have been praying this year? Would you say that your thoughts have been more directed to the Lord during this year, full of tribulation, full of loss, full of trials, than it was last year, a very comfortable and perhaps a very blessed year? The reality of our own hearts is that when we are experiencing prosperity, when everything is going very well, the tendency of our sinful hearts is to say, I shall never be moved. Everything's going to be fine. I don't need anything else. We focus on the prosperity and we lose focus of the Lord. Isn't that exactly what happened with David? The kingdom is doing fine. The numbers of the army are up. I'll make a census. I'll display my glory to my people and to all the peoples of the region. It seems that that's exactly how God deals with His people, isn't it? When they are too overconfident in their own prosperity, the Lord breaks them down to make them look back to Calvary. Look, if that's not exactly what happened in verse 7. Lord, by Your favor, You have made my mountain stand strong. You hid Your face, and I was troubled. In verse 7, what we have then is this acknowledgement. It is the Lord who makes the mountain strong. It is the presence of God who gives meaning to life. It is the blessings of the Lord that makes our life meaningful and makes us continue to walk into the new Jerusalem that is being prepared for us. Apart from the Lord, there's no sense, there's no meaning, there's only chaos. That's exactly what we read at the end of verse 7. You hid Your face, I was in terror. That's exactly the most literal translation for the word, I was troubled. I was in terror because of Your absence. You see, Christians, plagues and loss, tribulation and difficulties have this ability and are used by God so many times to move us from our stuckedness in prosperity to our gratitude to the Lord, and to move our attention back to God. This is the way in which you have been using these times of trial and tribulations. Perhaps you sit here this morning discouraged, with not a lot of strength to give praise to God and to thank Him for the many blessings, not being able to see the many blessings. But here is a blessing that you can probably contemplate in your soul. You are closer to God today than you were before. You are closer to Him today. As you seek His face, as you go back to the Word, when you experience your trials and tribulations, you direct your face to God Almighty, you are closer to Him. What a great blessing that is. Would we choose to walk in prosperity but away from the Lord? Or would we choose to walk in the midst of a plague and loss but be close to Him, to be in His comforting presence, to be in His protective care? Christian, this is where you are today. Despite of the strife, the loss, the lies, the divisions, and the plague, the blessings come only from the Lord. Oh, let us all this morning fine-tune our vision. Let us fine-tune our sight. Let us look past beyond all the suffering that 2020 brought to us, brought to this country, brought to our families and our communities, and then let us look all back to the mountain. Let us go all the way back to Sinai. Let us all go all the way back to the house of God in the heavenly places, for the company of the Lord is what brings us comfort. As we move into text, we notice now in verses 8 to 10 that plagues can bring another benefit. Plagues and loss help us to keep our focus on the Lord. The fine-tuning that we were talking about, it seems to come to realization in verses 8 to 10. Look at verse 8. He says, I cried out to the Lord, and the Lord, to the Lord I made my supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me, Lord. Be my helper. You notice here in these verses that there is a resolution. There is a resolution buttressing the attitude of the psalmist. There is a determination now to come before Yahweh, to come before the presence of the God of the covenant. Isn't that the name that is used in verse 8? Actually, that's precisely the name that buttresses the whole psalm, isn't it? From verse 1 and now verse 2 and verse 3, you notice that all the name of the Lord is always showed in capitalized form. This is the name Yahweh, the covenantal name of God. And look at what he says. Now, because of this time of suffering, and now because I have experienced deliverance from the Lord, I will continue to offer him up the supplication. I continue to come before His presence. But what is really stirring up the heart and the soul of the psalmist? The desire to bring glory to God. Look at verse 10. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. And at the end of verse 9, he says, would the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? See, the goal of the psalmist is, I want to use my time, I want to use my abilities. Now that I have experienced this plague, and now that I have experienced this loss, and now that the Lord has delivered me, now the Lord has granted me much blessings, what I desire is to use my life for the praise of God. You see, the plague and the loss that David experienced in that episode is leading him to focus all his energy, to focus all his attention, all his efforts to the glory of God, to bring Him glory. That is actually the reason why God blesses us, isn't it? The reason why we are delivered, the reason why we experience all the blessings that come from above, is so that we would use all of them to bring glory to God. It's not for our own profit. It's not for our own comfort. Christian, this is your interest this morning. As you come before God to offer your thankfulness, and perhaps as you are struggling to find reasons to be thankful, are you mindful of your purpose? Your purpose is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever, regardless of the circumstances. Regardless of the circumstances. And we know that for sure, because when you look at these verses with the eyes of the New Covenant, with the eyes of the New Testament, we quickly see who the psalmist is talking about, don't we? David is not talking about him. David, again, is talking about Christ. You see, at that great and marvelous day, when the joy of the Lord was brought in the morning, the Lord Jesus was lifted up from the dust of the grave. He was lifted up from the downing of the pit. The mercy of God the Father reached out powerfully and sovereignly, God the Son, and brought Him back from the dead so that He would continue to glorify God now, ascended in heaven, full of glory, seated and reigning sovereignly. You see, Christians, because we look at the resurrected Christ, life have meaning. Because we look at the blessings that have been accomplished and conquered in the Lord Jesus Christ, because He was lifted up from the dust, we rest assured that we will be lifted up from the dust. And all of a sudden, plagues and losses makes our eyes be turned to the Savior. But as we move to the end, as we reach the end of the psalm, we are reminded that plagues and loss help us to rejoice eternally in the restoration that come from God. You see, plagues and loss cannot overshadow the love of God. In fact, plagues and loss makes us see them. Plagues and loss helps us to seek the presence of God, to understand that blessings come from Him. Plagues and loss move us from our comfort zone and bring us to the point that we understand that it is only the presence of God, the blessings from heaven, that can really comfort our hearts and our souls. And all of a sudden we are satisfied. And then we become ready to rejoice eternally with the restoration that comes from the Lord. Look at verse 11. He said, "You have turned from me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness." After meditating upon all the sorrow, and after revisiting the deliverance of the Lord in that context, now David says, "I have new clothes. I have new garments." Do you see that in verse 11? "I am dressed anew. Yes, there was a moment when I was dressed as I was going to a funeral." That's exactly what the sackcloth stands for. The sackcloth is a dressing for the funeral. Not so much here in America, but back in Brazil, you can really acknowledge a funeral for a funeral. A funeral is not a moment for comfort. A funeral is not a moment for rejoice, for a meal. A funeral is a moment for sadness, for deep sadness. That's the legacy of Roman Catholicism. Uncertainty. There's nothing. There's no comfort. There's no hope. Only uncertainty. People are weeping. They're all dressed in black. The widow or the widower is disconsolate and in a corner. Nobody comes close to him or to her. The pain is too much. But not he who is in Christ. No. Because who is in Christ has a new cloth. He who is in the Lord Jesus. Look at it in verse 11. "Have their sackcloth removed and are clothed with gladness." This is not a cloth made with regular cloth. This is not a garment full of gold and diamonds incrusted in it. No, it is a dress that no finger can touch, that no government can rob, that no illness can destroy. It is a garment of gladness. Gladness because of the salvation of the Lord. This gladness protects the body, doesn't it? It is a clothing, after all. It protects us. It guards us. And it enables us to praise. Look at verse 12. He has clothed us with gladness to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. Perhaps a puzzling statement here, a puzzling expression is my glory. What David is talking about? Well, that's exactly how we describe the power, the pomp that kings have, isn't it? When we look at a king full of pomp, full of authority, this is the glory of the king. In other words, David is saying, you have clothed me with gladness to the end that all my kingly power, all my kingly authority may be used to sing praise to you and not be silent. And he will do that forever. Look at the end of the verse. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Because he has new garments, these new garments enable him to use all his resources to the praise of God, and he will do that forever for the new clothes he has coming from the covenant of God. Plagues and loss lead us to rejoice eternally with the Lord of restoration. For plagues and loss help us to be reminded of that which we have in Christ. See, perhaps you're saying, well, Pastor, aren't you spiritualizing too much the psalm? Well, yes. And shouldn't we? Because again, when we look at verses 11 and 12, it is just impossible. As we look at these verses with new covenant eyes, as we look at these verses with the perspective of the New Testament, it is impossible not to see here a picture of Jesus and Jesus applied to the believer. It is impossible. For Christian, yes, I look at you here this morning and some of you are using the same clothes as I have been seeing you using before. You don't have new clothes. Perhaps you have new garments. Perhaps you're not even thinking about buying new clothes or a new suit this coming Christmas. But you have been clothed anew with the Lord Jesus Christ. In His blood, in His death, in His resurrection, in His ascension. Christian, you have new clothes of gladness that no one can rob, that no grave can make go away, that no doctor's office can make you disappear, that no exam result can put out. You have been clothed with the gladness of redemption coming from the cross of Christ. Oh, my prayer this morning is that the plagues and the losses of this year will make us truly understand that they cannot overshadow the love of God for His people revealed in Christ. Plagues and loss may help us to walk closer with God, as we are reminded that all blessings come from Him, that without Him there is only terror, and that in Him we have been forever restored back to heaven. But perhaps you sit here this morning and you have none of these hopes. None of these hopes. How do I know it? Well, I don't. But you should search yourself. Because if there is one thing that is really sure, that is really clear in this psalm, is that when plagues and loss hit our home, hit our house, hit our society, apart from the God of the covenant, the God of the Bible, apart from the God who revealed Himself in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no hope, there is no help, there is no gladness, there is no happiness. If you stand here this morning and you are apart from Christ, plagues and loss will ultimately devour you. Search your heart this morning. For the Lord of the covenant, the Lord Almighty, is the only place, is the only one who can really restore us and brings us joy and gladness in the face of loss and illness. Oh, if you sit here this morning apart from this God, you are doomed to temporal and eternal losses and plagues. You will continue to be plagued by the plague of sin. You continue to experience loss by the loss of transgression and wickedness. And you will ultimately experience the plague of hell and destruction. But with the Lord there is mercy. Oh, if you are apart from Him, abandon your rebellion and come to Him. May the plagues and the illnesses of this life remind you of the desperate natural state of humanity and point you to the only place where hope can be found. May you repent from your sin and may you come to Christ. But for you, Christian, oh Christian, fear no plague, fear no illness, fear no loss. For none of these things can overshadow the love of God. And actually, they can bring us closer to our Savior. Let us pray together. Great God in heaven, we thank you for your word that reminds us of the blessings that comes eternally from heaven. Of the blessings eternally conquered for us by our Savior in His life, death, resurrection, and ascension. Oh, great God in heaven, help us to abandon all sadness this morning. Help us to abandon all feeling of defeatedness. Help us to cling to the victory of Christ at the cross, from His deliverance from the grave. For take us back to the glorious resurrection. Help us to understand how plagues and loss cannot overshadow what Calvary has conquered for us. Cannot, but bring us closer to the source of life. Take us there, Lord, we pray. Give us much joy and thankfulness this day for the Messiah and the salvation that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.